Got a few. Good morning.
There we go. A little lively. Hey, I work with students, and a lot of the times I catch myself saying this to them: don't get too comfortable. And a lot of times when we're in here on Wednesday nights or wherever we go, if we're going on a trip, we're going on summer camp, I find myself to them constantly talking about getting out of your comfort zone or your comfort element. And even just this past week on Wednesday night, I had them break up into groups with people they don't know and sit and talk and discuss. And they do that. And they always seem to put a smile on their face most of the time as they do those things. And as I challenge them to get out of their comfort zone. Hey, last Sunday, a part of my sermon last Sunday I skipped over because word came out, our pastor search team needed some significant time at the end of the sermon and at the end of the service for discussion and to be able to tell you that we have a potential guy coming here. And this week, they've got some more news for you. So at the end of our worship time today, Brother Lane is going to be coming up along with Mr. Kenny, and they're going to be sharing some direction and sharing some information with you. But all week long, I battled with the part that I skipped out last week on you. And it had to deal with the seven signs Christians might love comfort more than Jesus. And this was an article I read 2 weeks ago. And I really wanted to use it last week as it's kind of an exam. It's a way for you to look at these things, look at yourself, and see, are these seven things part of my life? So as I began to grapple with that this week, and I really, Monday morning, I was ready just to throw that out, start all over, and preach a different message for you today. But all week, that kept coming back to me, this whole idea of comfort, our comfort level, our comfort zone. And so God began to flesh out a message today titled, "The Greatest Comfort Equals Great Discomfort." And if you say that really fast, it sounds pretty cool. Greatest comfort equals greatest discomfort. And it equals great discomfort. So it's almost the same thing. And so today I want to promote to you today that part of being a Christian is choosing a life of great discomfort, but it also means a life of the greatest comfort you can imagine. Just think about it for a minute. When you come to salvation in Jesus Christ, that's a discomfortable thing. I know sometimes in some places, in some churches, and some teachers, they teach this salvation as the easy way of life. They teach a salvation that will bring you assurance and will bring you comfort. But I want to say this, that comfort and assurance is a byproduct of salvation. It's not the reason that we come to salvation. Because just think about what happens in salvation. What happens when you get saved is, first of all, you're realizing your sin. You're realizing the offense that you are to a holy, righteous God. That's not comfortable. You know, I think back when I was a child, and I remember sitting in church, and I remember a girl, she was about 4 years older than me. And I was probably 6 or 7, she was probably 9 or 10, somewhere along in that. And she was someone that I really looked up to. I looked up to her family, and her mom was kind of a mentor for me and my brother growing up as kids. And I remember a Sunday morning at the end of a worship service when the invitation was given, "I Surrender All" was playing. And I remember just hearing weeping and wailing. And I, you know, was curious. I was looking. I mean, this isn't normal. What's going on here? And I looked up to the front, and there she was. She was weeping and wailing, confessing her sin to the Lord, trusting Jesus as her Savior. And I remember after the worship service was over, and we were going home, and she was presented to the church, and, you know, of course, they, at that time stood up front, and everyone welcomed her as a new believer. And I remember going to lunch afterwards and asking my dad, "Dad, what was that? What was going on? Isn't that a little overboard?" And my dad said to me, "Son, when someone comes to confess their sins, to repent of their sins, and they turn their life over to Jesus, that is one of the most emotional times of someone's life." And I remember thinking that, and I was like, wow, you know, I grew up as a kid. I was like, yeah, I want Jesus. Yeah, I'm coming to Jesus. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. I never thought of it as being an overwhelming, sad moment of my life. Some preachers have preached, unless tears have been shed, salvation hasn't happened. And I don't necessarily agree with that 100%, but I do agree with this. The moment of coming to Jesus Christ in salvation is uncomfortable, because it's the moment of repenting and turning away from sin, turning away from self. It's also the moment that we turn to Jesus and we say, "Jesus, I'm giving up. I'm surrendering my life to you, to follow you." It's uncomfortable. But yet we know the greatest comfort in life comes from that. The greatest assurances in life come from that. Have you felt the discomfort of that? Have you felt the discomfort of your sin? Have you gotten to that place in your life where you were broken and you were burdened and you were overwhelmed with the reality that my sins have separated me from God, but yet my God chose to be so uncomfortable that He came to this earth. He left His perfect place in heaven. He came to this earth. He walked on this earth to His death for me. The greatest comfort that He could give us came from His greatest discomfort. And that was bearing our sin on the cross. So as we begin to talk about this today, we must realize when we come to Jesus, we are coming to Him in discomfort. You know, our church has experienced discomfort. And it should. That's part of this whole thing. That's part of what we've been looking through in Acts, of these early believers and of being sent out and being scattered. Man, it's been uncomfortable for my family lately, because we've had some very precious, near and dear people to us that God has moved to other places. Lauren Creed and Melody Toso, people that we love and love my kids and spend time with us. And we're like, man, Lord, this is so uncomfortable. But yet we know for the kingdom's purposes and glory, they've been moved. We're going to miss the Schultz family and the Palmer family. Man, it's uncomfortable when these kinds of things happen, when scattering happens and people need to move and to go. I read this quote this week. "Church was never meant to be safe." I know we want it to be sometimes. "Loving, accepting, forgiving, and transforming, yes. But not safe." I want to put in there, but not comfortable. We should always be a little bit uncomfortable. And I want to say this. Many people in church today, they're bored. No, they really are. They're bored in church today, all across the United States, all across the world even. They're bored in church because we've just continually catered to people in church. And we've continued to make church, you know, it's like the cruise ship. We've continued to make it this way. Like, come on board with us. We'll take care of you. We'll make you comfortable. We'll make sure our seats are nice so you don't get too worn out for you. You know, we kind of have this idea that if we continue this, but that people will want to come to church, but just the opposite is true, that so many people are getting tired of church being comfortable. But yet those same people, and many of us, we're timid about getting out of our comfort zone. And so what we've done in church is we've kind of set up this wall, this perimeter with us, and the amount of people that we'll actually talk to in church, because we just don't want to become uncomfortable with what's going on, with who we are, with the people who we positioned ourselves to be around. But deep down, I believe as a Christ follower and as a member of our church, that you really want to connect with a church that will draw out every ounce of potential and passion you have. And that's what's driving me on this sermon this week, is that as we look forward to next Sunday, potential pastoring coming in view of a call, and then the opportunity not too long from now that we're going to call this pastor to come to our church, and as he begins to come here, as we begin to think this congregation, everyone here, living up to fullest potential and passion that we have. So let's take a little exam. Let's take a little exam real quick to kind of get a feel. What's the thermometer? You know, what's your temperature when it comes to comfort? Frank Powell wrote this article, Seven Signs Christians Might Love Comfort More Than Jesus. And I'm going to expand on them just a little bit. Number one sign that Christians might love comfort more than Jesus. Number one, you're a referee and not a player. Basically, it's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were. They became the referees. They became the monitors. They became the police, kind of looking in on everyone else, making judgments about other people's decisions and actions and behaviors. I'll have to be honest with you. I catch myself on Facebook with this all the time. Becoming the referee on Facebook. Watching what someone says, watching what someone posts, and then me trying to understand the motives behind what they say. Or me condemning their behavior because of something they said or did on Facebook. That's a struggle. Becoming a referee and not a player. Number two, your desire and passion for God are stagnant. You know, you've been there before. You used to say yes. You used to say, I'll go. You used to say, I'll volunteer. You used to say, I'll pray. I'll teach. You used to say, I'll serve. I'll clean. But you've kind of realized lately that you just show up. And you've just kind of become stagnant. If you're not uncomfortable, then you're probably stuck at an acceptable level. It's from Cal Newport. If you're not uncomfortable, and that's why I say to you, you know, we've got to be some kind of uncomfortable level. You know, the Israelites, all throughout the Old Testament, they just went through this over and over again. They were stagnant, even rebellious. God would bring judgment, and then their passion and their obedience would rise, and then they would go through the cycle again, over and over and over again. We see that. Where are you today in your passion for God? Number three, you talk like an atheist. You don't denounce God, but you don't mention Him in your everyday conversations. You know, you might be comfortable if most of your conversations are about you and your family, your job, your school, your likes and dislikes, the latest movies, all good conversations. But God is not part of those conversations. Number four, you keep God on a leash. You know, it's that, God, I'll do a lot of things, God, but whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not going there. I'll do a lot of things, God, but I'm not giving that much money. I'll do a lot of things, God, but I'm not going that far to go on mission. I'll do a lot of things, God, but bed babies? No, sir. Not headed in there. Sixth graders? Oh, no. Not going down that path. You see, we keep God on a leash. I surrender all to Thee. Oh, God, I'm here for You. I'll trust You with my life, but whoa, 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 not this. I'm not. I'm not going down that road, desert road, if you remember that from last week. Keep God on a leash. But if we're serving an all-powerful God, if we really are an all-powerful, omniscient God, then we've got to let go of the leash. We've got to totally surrender to Him. Number five, you begin to compromise your morals. I want you to flip with me this morning. Apologize for some of you. We're just now jumping into the Scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. A great example of what happens when we compromise our morals, when we become comfortable, so comfortable that our life gets out of control. And this is exactly what happened to David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, that's important. David becomes so comfortable that he wasn't even doing his job. Sent his men off to war and he stayed at home. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out of the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. You see, he was more interested in his comfort. Oh, I've been a great warrior. I've fought the good fights. I'm ready to retire. I'm ready to sit home and drink sweet tea. Send my army off to go do the work. That's where it started. It started because he let his comfort level begin to compromise his commitment. So what did he do? One evening, David got up from his bed. Don't know why he'd be sleeping all day, relaxing all day. It's another sign of his comfort level. One evening, David got up from his bed. He walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. And then he faced a lot of consequences because of that. And his sin took him much further than he really wanted to go there, ever imagined he would going. But I want to say to you this morning, it started, that whole process we learn here started because he was interested in his own comforts, in his own selfishness. When that happens, we begin to compromise our morals. Number six, you view Christian living as a list of don'ts. Mark Batterson says this, you can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. When we began to look at our Christian walk as a list of don'ts and what not to do, instead of, God, what do I do? God, show me what to do. God, lead me to serve you. Instead of, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. Verse seven, number seven, and the last one. Might be in a comfort level. You might love comfort more than Jesus if every person in your circle looks and acts like you. If you hang out with the same group all the time, you might have gotten into a comfort zone that could be very unhealthy. So where do we find comfort? You know, Jesus had a very passionate message to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16. You know, Jesus is about to send out his disciples. So of course, as he's sending them out, of course, he is about to pump them up. He's about to inspire them and challenge them and get them ready for the journey that they're about to go on. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, we read this. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. I want to say to you, where do you go for comfort? A lot of time our first reaction is to go to those closest to us. And that's true. We should. But Jesus reminds his disciples here, I'm sending you out. And as you go out, I want you to be aware. Look at this. Men are going to hand you over. Look at this. Government and kings cannot be trusted. Brother will betray brother to death. Father his children. Children will rebel against their parents. I say all that to say, Jesus is telling them, listen, your comfort, your hope, cannot be in these. Although most of the time when we're uncomfortable, when we feel that sense of urgency, the people immediately that we go to, we want to go to family, we want to go to friends, we want to go to brothers and sisters, we want maybe go to our government, maybe, you know, call on higher powers in government to help us with things. But Jesus is making it very clear that it's a total surrender to them. He says in verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but it cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from me. Apart from them will fall to the ground, apart from the will of your Father, excuse me. And even the will of your Father, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Jesus says, come to him. I also want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. When we go to look for comfort, as we look at those around us, our greatest comfort is not going to come from our family, from our friends, from our government. Where is our greatest comfort going to come from? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Not just the God of some comfort or a little comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And we can believe in Him. It says, who confronts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort... I'm having a hard time reading. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So when we look and we think about this whole package of what it means to be a Christ follower, and we think about from the very beginning of my relationship with the Lord, it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable when I turned my life over to Him, when I repented of my sins and I turned my sins over. It's uncomfortable when I surrendered my life before Him, committed my life to His ways. That's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable as a disciple walking with Him into the unknown. It's uncomfortable sometimes being amongst a body of believers, and we go through life, we go through experiences, we go through disagreements. It gets uncomfortable sometimes. It's uncomfortable when we know the message of the gospel is for us to be scattered and to go into a world that Jesus says is going to hate us. That's uncomfortable. But yet God says, I'm the God of all comfort. And whatever you experience that's uncomfortable and is challenging and gets you out of your comfort zone, whatever you experience, guess what? I'm going to comfort you so that you can be used to comfort others. I'm going to comfort you so that you can be used to comfort them. Let me tell you something. I know many of you have experienced as well as being able to experience hurt and tragedy in life. And going through that, in the midst of that, is so raw and it's so painful and it's so uncomfortable. But as we trust God to move us through that, and He promises He will be with us through that, when we get to a point in that where we're able to help someone else, we're able to encourage someone else, we're able to lift someone else up because of what we've experienced, I'm telling you, there is great comfort in that. And that's what Jesus says. You go through discomfort in life. I walk with you through it. I am the God of all comfort so that you can help and comfort others. And I think there's something missing in many believers today. And they're wondering, why is it stale? Why am I stagnant? Why doesn't this whole church thing feel right? Why does it just feel like I'm going through the motions week after week after week? I want to propose to you, because probably you haven't had the opportunity to share what you've been through, to share what God has brought you through, to share His comfort with someone else. Because when you're able to do that and you're able to start seeing God's comfort work in that person's life, all of a sudden, boom, that greatest comfort sets in. Yeah, greatest comfort comes from going through great discomfort. But have peace, church. Our God is the God of all comfort. Let's pray together. Lord, I know many in here have experienced great discomfort. They are experiencing great discomfort right now. And God, I know their pain. Right now, it's just overwhelming. God, I pray You'll minister to those in this service today. God, that they would reach out to Your comfort. They'd reach out, God, to the peace that only You can bring into their life. I pray as believers, that's part of our encouragement for one another, is comforting each other. Pray, God, we would help each other through that. But God, I pray also that we won't remain comfortable. God, we've been through some trying times, but we've been able to see Your hand at work, and it's going to make us stronger. God, it's going to give us more passion. It's going to give us more intentionality in our ministries and the purpose of Eastwood Baptist Church. So God, I pray in this room right now, there will be many but be willing to say, I'll step out of my comfort zone. I will become uncomfortable so that I can give comfort to others. Pray, Father, if there's anyone today that has never reached that point in their life where they've become the most uncomfortable with their sin and realizing that their sin is separated from You, that Lord, right now, in this place, they would surrender to You, trust You for forgiveness, salvation. God, I pray during this time of invitation, we respond to You. Someone may want to join the church today. Lord, I pray You've worked in their heart, You've spoken to them about that, and today they can make that public. We just offer up this time to You to work and move and speak among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be standing down front. Any of our other church leaders or small group leaders, if you want to come and join me, we're here to pray. If you feel discouraged, if you feel down, if you just need someone to pray for you to have comfort, we're going to be up here. If you want to come and join the church or come to salvation today, you come. We'll be here for you.